Call It Hope. Written by Artemis 1000. Read by Black Glass. Fandom, The Untamed. Jiang Cheng stands there, in the Wen dungeon that reeks of piss and fear and death, and waits for Wen Qing's answer. She is called to him now, and he can't blame her for it. Knows that his own reaction would, had been, far worse. She is chafing under the humiliation of needing to be rescued, of being seen at all in such a sorry state. They had found her in chains, clinging to her brother, and using what measly bits of her powers weren't dampened by the talismans on the cell, to keep Wen Ning alive. She looks at him with wide, vulnerable eyes for long moments. Then she steels herself, and somehow manages to look regal, in robes that haven't been washed in months, and bruises marring her determined face. "I accept your protection," she says, her voice firm, permitting no argument. "But I won't shed my name, and I won't deny who I am." He releases the breath he had been holding, and nods, eagerly. "All right," he says. "That's all right. I won't ask more of you than you can give." He tries to remind himself that she is only staying because Wen Ning needs more care than she can provide by herself. Reminds himself that by doing this, she is still choosing her family, not him. He still feels full of giddy wild hope, for the first time since Wei Wuxian vanished. Not wishing her to believe that his offer of protection comes with strings attached, he doesn't give her the comb. He keeps carrying it close to his heart. "You are still wearing red." She looks up briefly from the pot she is stirring, without stopping her mumbled counting, only interrupting it long enough to raise a finger and say, "Not now." Jiang Cheng sits down across from her. He places Sandu on his lap, and is content to watch her, as she keeps stirring and counting, manipulating the heat of the unnatural flames by the spiritual energy she fuels into it, and adding more ingredients until all the small bowls scattered around her are empty. Before her, he had never seen the one-sex fire techniques used for healing. The heat in her tent becomes stifling at some point. The fumes of the medicinal brew sting in his eyes. He is stubborn, so he just blinks away the tears and keeps watching. Her eyebrows furrow when she is deep in concentration. She purses her lips when she is displeased. At some point, even she, with her superior experience at medicine brewing, can't look unaffected anymore, and sweat starts beating on her brow. Jiang Cheng finds himself aching to be allowed to lean closer and wipe it away. Finally, Wen Qing takes the pot from the fire and leans back. It is only then that her eyes find his. "I didn't expect to see you tonight," she remarks. "If you are injured, you should have visited the hospital tent." He shakes his head and looks down at Sandu on his lap, fingers worrying at the toad on the hilt. "I just wanted to see you. To see how you were settling in," he corrects himself quickly, with a frown of his own. "There is no peace and quiet to prepare medicines in the field hospital." Zhang Cheng's lips twitch, although his furrowed brows don't smoothen. "That's where I look for you first. You have your assistants convinced you are the most terrifying one." She looks pensive. "They do have more to fear for me than Wen Ruohan," she says eventually. "I am here, and he is not." He smiles, and she smiles back, and his heart aches with such tender affection that it hurts. Still, he reminds himself she stayed for Wen Ning, not for him. Jiang Cheng kowtows in the ancestral hall and tells his mother, "You would like her," once he is done apologizing for bringing Wen's to Lotus Pier. He has apologized for this slight every day since they installed the tablets to honor Jiang Fengmian and Yu Ziyuan. But today he also tells her, "I wish you could have met her." He apologizes, but he can't bring himself to regret his decision. Not when he steps out of the dimness of the ancestral hall, into bright sunlight, and finds Wen Qing waiting for him, She continues to wear the colors of her vanquished sect, as she had during the entire Sunshot campaign, even while she ruled the Jiang Field Hospital with an iron fist. They still need to find a solution for the Wen civilians. He wouldn't get involved, except he owes it to Wen Qing and Wen Ning, and the others who had followed their example. Jing Guangshan keeps demanding bloody vengeance, but they have at least a little more time, until threats will be followed by actions. Amidst all of this, Wen Qing continues to wear red and black, proud flames emblazoned on her sleeves. Yes, Jiang Cheng thinks. His mother would have liked her. Jiang Cheng does not take well to red. Seeing Lotus Pier decked in this color doesn't put him in mind of weddings, but rather of the Wen invading his home. He feels awkward in his robes, not only for the color, but also for feeling like he is going to be cooked alive, wearing so many heavy, embroidered layers in Yunmeng's humid heat. Wen Qing, though. Wen Qing wears her birth sex colors with ease and pride. Jiang Cheng almost hopes it won't be the last time he will see her in red. The next day, she pins up her hair in the style of a married woman and wordlessly dons purple robes, her eyes just daring him to comment on it. There are still flames embroidered on her sleeves, and he is certain she is daring him to comment on that too. For once, Jiang Cheng knows better than to take the bait. He just pulls out the comb he still hasn't given to her and shoves it into her hand, rumpled silk handkerchief and all, telling her, "You're missing something." She looks puzzled, then pleased, and also the tiniest bit taken aback. "How long?" she asks simply, and if Jiang Cheng wasn't already hopelessly flustered, he would be now. She knows him far too well. There is also the distinct possibility he hasn't been as stealthy as he would like to believe, all those times he almost gave her the comb, and lost his nerve at the last moment. "You're supposed to wear it in your hair, not carry it around," he snipes, and imperiously crosses his arms over his chest, as if that can do anything to cover up his bright red face. "I would never have guessed," she says wryly, a quirk of fond amusement to her lips. She offers the comb back to him, with an expectant face, and he tucks it neatly into her hair, his fingers lingering for as long as he possibly can. Wen Qing saves him the trouble of finding another excuse. She simply leans in and kisses him, no bothering with excuses at all. Jiang Cheng smiles against her lips, and feels his smile mirrored by hers. The end.